It's Friday, July 19th, 2019, and you're welcome to this podcast from Black Knight, Ireland's leading provider of web hosting, domains and internet services. This is Conor Muinechon, and today I'm talking to Geoffrey Rowe. He's a software engineer and he's also one of the organisers of Dublin Maker, an event which is on tomorrow in Dublin's Merrion Square. It starts at 10 and it's free and open to all. So how did Geoffrey himself get involved in the Maker movement?
So I guess it happened around 11 years ago when I was going to these security meetups that used to happen once a month, and I got interested in making my own antennas, in making my own LED displays, and I really wanted somewhere that I could do this more full-time or more where I'd have more access to equipment and manufacturing gear. So about 10 years ago, I founded an organization called TOG, T-O-G. So that was Ireland's first hackerspace at a time, where it really gave people access to all these pieces of equipment that were coming way down in price, and a kind of environment where people could share information and work together in projects. And then kind of what it felt like is we were building all these cool projects and science demonstrations, but we had really nowhere to showcase what we were doing. We had art shows going on, we had science fairs for kids, but there was really that missing gap for these sorts of projects to give their moment to shine.
So how would you characterize the Maker movement, Geoffrey? It's something that maybe some people mightn't be familiar with. If they're not, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as a rediscovery of what we used to do in the past. So if we look a lot on the internet, we might see it as a newfangled buzzword. But if we look back to what our parents and our grandparents did, they were very much interested in repairing their own clothes, repairing their own equipment. They might know a grandparent who used to love messing around with ham radio. So what I see the Maker movement is really a rediscovery of those activities in our own time. And with the power of the internet, we are having much more mass communication.
Yeah.
And so instead of being local groups that would do it, we now have this mass communication across the internet.
It's a tool for community, really, isn't it? It's bringing people that are like-minded and have these interests in common. And I notice with interest there, Geoffrey, that you use the word repair as well. The Maker movement and the fix-it-yourself movement are very closely related, aren't they?
We are. I think a lot of people in the Maker movement, there's a kind of turn against buying brand new things to build your projects.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who will go find out a disused item or something that's in need of repair and then incorporate that into their project, mm-hmm, instead of the consumerism of buying brand new things for these projects.
Yeah, and a lot of things that a lot of products that we buy nowadays, it's cheaper to manufacture them if you don't make them fixable, if you put them together in such a way with glue and things like that, it makes it difficult for people to actually repair them themselves. They don't want you to repair them themselves. They want you to buy a new one, isn't that it?
I think the big shift that we see happening is the shift away from buying products and buying physical things to moving towards accepting that we're buying services. So why should it be that we buy a laptop that it's a service that goes to disrepair after a couple of years?
Yeah.
You know, there's that paradigm shift.
So as you describe it, Geoffrey, this Dublin Maker event has grown organically, really, I think, out of the movement in Dublin or the community in Dublin. Would that be a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, so over the past 8 years, we originally started off in a small area in Trinity College and have really expanded now to taking over half of Merrion Square. We get 10,000 visitors. It's really organically grown as the participants will come along 1 year and then get that self-confidence to come along the next year and showcase what they have been making.
So it's not just this annual event. Somebody could go to this event and find themselves inducted or attracted into a community and find that there are other events going on around the city. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so they can come along and then discover that they like weaving, for example.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of local weaving guilds around the country that they can join, or they might get an interest in wood turning, and there's plenty of wood turning groups, or they might discover that they like some electronics, and they might look to join their local makerspace or go to the local library and discover about 3D printing. So it's about giving them that inspiration on the 20th of July, and then for them to go out for the rest of the year and get on making.
So if you haven't been involved in this up to now, what can you expect on the 20th of July at Merrion Square?
So we're going to have really an eclectic mix of all different types of making. We're not going to be focused on just on, although we'll have them like robots and high-tech stuff, we'll have people doing wood turning, we'll have people doing weaving, we'll have the latest stuff, Ireland's first satellite, AirSat, they'll be doing demos at it. We'll have the physics buskers who are showcasing people different physics experiments. So we have that real mix of kind of low-tech projects of traditional crafts and skills to the high-tech coding involved.
Excellent. You describe in your press release, you describe makers as people who have ideas and act on them.
That's the unfortunate thing. You see it on predominantly on the social media about lots of people having ideas. I think it really takes a lot of courage and commitment to take that idea and to go along the next step. Like what we really want to showcase at the event, and what we were keen to show people are too used to seeing finished products and too used to seeing perfect success and beautifully designed products. What we encourage at the event is show off your prototypes, show off your dead ends of R&D that you might have done in your project. People will learn from all these failures and successes you might have had, and that will influence them and give them the encouragement to make their own projects.
Making and fixing and tinkering and exploring how things work, it's got a lot in common with the childhood activity of playing. Would you agree with that?
I definitely think so. I think what we have found is people learn to self-censor too much.
Yeah.
We put on this facade when we put on our social media posts that we want to show this artificial lifestyle of success and all the material things that we have. I'm very much encourage people to post that project that fell apart after your glue might have snapped off or something, to be okay with these sorts of failures. And that's, you see it in kids, are very much happy with just the experience of the making itself and don't see the failure that will stop them. But I think we lose that along the way and we learn to self-censor too much.
Do you find that kids are particularly attracted to the Maker event?
I think they're particularly attracted because of the amount of interactive demos and projects we have. We have people, the Board Game Ireland group will be showing off their new prototype games that their community have developing. We'll have people getting a chance to do some wood turning of their own. So that kind of hands-on, none of these signs when you go to museums and other areas of do not touch. There's very much people are encouraged to, you know, put their hands on it, stick their head around the back of a project and go, oh, what do all these wires do? And really get the grasp of what it takes to build these things.
And you get 10,000 visitors. I'm not surprised. How many exhibitors, how many stands are involved in it?
So we have 62 different maker groups. So they range from individuals to groups like hackerspaces and guilds and the sound science outreach departments. I think we have that really eclectic mix of the person, their one person band in their shed or kitchen table that they make versus these community groups.
It's been going for 7 years. You're getting support from people like Science Foundation Ireland and Dublin City Council as well?
Yeah, I think our biggest supporter over the years has been Science Foundation Ireland. One of their key remits is to make Ireland the most scientific, literate society, so we can ask the hard questions that face our current culture and society about climate change? Have they more been open to ask scientists and researchers these hard questions to try and understand the problems of our day?
It sounds like great fun. I'm sure it's a lot of work as well, Geoffrey. It's a great opportunity to get an introduction, I think, to maker culture. And if people are interested, Geoffrey, how can they find out more?
The best place is dublinmaker.ie.
You're listening to the Black Knight podcast. That was Geoffrey Rowe. He's one of the organisers of Dublin Maker. It's on tomorrow, Saturday, July 20th in Merrion Square in Dublin. And it sounds like a lot of fun. And if you fancy having a go at making your own website, why not check out our offer at blacknight.com/sitebuilder. For just $39.99 plus VAT, you get Sitebuilder with a free .ie, .com or .eu domain name for the first year. And it also includes an SSL digital security certificate, so your site is secure and loved by search engines. You can make a website in as little as 20 minutes. In fact, you can see a video of me doing exactly that. It was recorded earlier this year at the Southeast Business Expo in Waterford, and the video is on the page there at blacknight.com/sitebuilder. Okay, Sinevuel Dun Tachtensha. Find out more and subscribe to the podcast at blacknight.blog/podcast. Gudien Hedurele, Slán Agus Benacht.